Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. It is sex therapy time.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
As always, a little ears warning here. You can catch this chat on our podcast after the show because we're doing a sex therapy Q&A today and I'm joined by our wonderful relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. Good morning.
Morning, Jen. How's it going?
It's good. I'm excited about today because it's a bit of everything. It's a bit of sex, it's a bit of relationships, and it's all from our listeners. So we've asked you guys to text in your questions. Are you ready, Rachel?
I am ready. Is this going to be a quick fire round? Let's see. I'm excited to see what's come in.
Well, as quick as we can, because we've a lot to get through. We have so many questions for you. We might have to do it again next week. But let's kick off and see how we get on. The first question is how to come out as an older person with kids from a heterosexual marriage. It never seems like the right time and I'm afraid to traumatize my children.
Oh, this one's so tough. Now, this person hasn't said whether, you know, whether they're the father, mother, what their gender identity is. But I would say no matter what, there isn't a perfect right time ever to come out, right? There's no right time. There's not really a wrong time. There's no perfect way to do it. If you keep waiting, you'll find that you never get there. So I think just, your children are going to want you to be happy and authentically yourself. Of course, it might come as a shock, but realistically, they're going to be okay. And also, the younger generations are so much more open about gender and sexuality and relationship structures that I think, you know, if this is something that you want to do. Because another aspect of coming out is that people often feel obliged to come out when you don't have to come out. You don't have to justify your sexuality to anyone. However, for many people, it is something that's very important to them and is a very necessary step of feeling like they can be their true selves. Mm. So I would say sit down if you're still with your husband or wife or, you know, your spouse, then sit down and talk to them first. If you're not with them, but it's kind of you're on neutral terms or on good terms, then I would absolutely talk to them first as well about it and have the solidarity and support of them.
Good advice.
Then you can sit down and talk to your kids.
Very good advice.
How
can I be really good at sex?
Oh my God, be responsive, enthusiastic, communicative, as present as possible, aware of your own desires, sex positive and willing to practice. Very few people are naturally great at sex. It's an activity like any, it's a skill. There's a set of skills involved in it. But I would say basically being enthusiastic, communicating, and being aware of what you like and what you want and then being as responsive as possible to the other person. You know, you don't have to necessarily be picking up on every single little cue, but that's what we have words for. That's how to be good at sex.
So communication is key.
Communication's key.
Okay. I really fancy my closest friend. Is it a good idea to ask them out? This texter says, what do you say?
Oh, think about how much you value the friendship. We often view romantic and sexual relationships at kind of the top of the hierarchy. And I think that can be really unhelpful and hugely inaccurate. Friendships can be so bloody important and often can last often a lot longer than romantic and sexual relationships. So I would say it also doesn't have to be a huge deal if you respectfully, you know, sort of share your feelings and ask them out. If they say no and you continue being great friends, you know, sex is just another kind of activity that people can do together. But basically communicate with respect and honesty. And if one or both of you needs a bit of space or time after sharing that, then, you know, that's okay too. But do not use guilt or shame or give someone silent treatment for not giving you what you want. This part of this is probably going to be about learning how to accept rejection, which is a very important lesson. And then also remembering that friendship is not a consolation prize.
Really interesting. I thought you'd be going for the ride on that one. It's really interesting that you said, where do you value it? And sometimes people put, you know, romantic or sexual relationships ahead of platonic friendships when, as we learned on the show yesterday, platonic friendships are so, so, so important to people, aren't they? Even sometimes more so than a romantic one.
Exactly that, you know, and I think this is a really damaging part of mainstream media, is that we still see having a romantic and sexual connection with someone as being the best kind of relationship. And that has all sorts of problems connected to it. So I think, you know, there's no problem with feeling attracted to your friend, but just because you're sexually or romantically attracted to them doesn't mean that that has to be the relationship that you have with them.
Okay, another question. What's the best thing to do if someone you're dating is giving you mixed messages?
Oh, many people say, and I tend to agree, that mixed messages are not mixed. They're a no. However, we can all be a bit messy and unaware of ourselves at times. So if you do value your relationship with this person, absolutely just call it out straight. Tell them you're experiencing mixed messages from them. You're finding that they're a bit hot and cold with you and it doesn't sit right with you. You feel uncomfortable and you want to know what's going on for them. You know, you don't necessarily have to say to them, where do we stand, that you kind of are putting the ball completely in their court as to deciding what's happening in the relationship between you. But just speak for yourself and say, something's not sitting quite right for me. Mm. You know, something seems off. And, you know, are you willing to share that with me? If they're still going to be sort of not very clear, not very direct, then again, I would say to you, that is a no. Mixed messages are generally a sign that someone is not in a great place to continue. And it's probably nothing to do with you. But that's their own heads, that's their own stuff. And there's only so much you can do with that. So don't torment yourself by hanging on with mixed messages. Either call it out or step away.
Very good advice. I heard people describe themselves positively as a slut. What's this about?
Oh, this is part of the reclamation or re-signification of words that have been traditionally used to, you know, insult, degrade, humiliate people, especially historically women, for their choices around their body and sex. So now I'm seeing, in over the past few years, people of all genders will describe themselves as a slut. And what they mean by that is they enjoy pleasure. They enjoy sex. They recognize the right to make decisions about their own body, and that there can be amazing things about being a slut.
Just going back to your mixed messages are actually a no message. I got a message in straight away going, Jen, mixed messages are a no. This is a game changer. I just had a chat with a mate about mixed messages I'm getting from a lad in work. He's just messing me around. Thanks, Rachel.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear this. You know, this is it's a big one, because so many of us were going, oh, is it me? Is it maybe the other person just needs a bit more time? You know, maybe it's to do with the fact that they might be still hung up over an ex. Yeah, all of these things might be true. But usually you end up in this limbo space, which can absolutely drive you mad. And that is the place where people often end up feeling more and more insecure. And also the goalposts keep moving. You know, your boundaries get sort of loose and porous. And that is... it's not a good place to be, because it usually ends up with you feeling shy.
Yeah, so call it out straight away. Does it mean I'm bi if I'm a straight man who sometimes fantasizes about sex with men?
Not necessarily. People can fantasize about absolutely anything. It doesn't mean they actually want it to happen or would even enjoy it. Sometimes things that we fantasize about might be impractical, impossible, too risky. Often it's the taboo that we find a turn on, which, you know, is sad that that can still be the case for sexuality, because realistically, you know, sexuality between consenting adults is not taboo. But however, I think it's very natural to recognize that we often find things erotic because they go against who we are or what we usually want in reality. So fantasies don't actually need to mean anything. Of course, they sometimes can, but they don't necessarily.
And talk about fantasies, and going on to this question, how do I know if I actually want to act out on one of my sexual fantasies and if it would be a good idea? So how do people know if they should act on that? Like that guy who thinks as well, it relates to him as well. If he fantasizes about sex with men, should he go and have sex with a man?
Well, look, be boundaried and consensual about, you know, what your fantasies are and how you share them with other people. Fantasies often take quite a lot of negotiation, trust and flexibility as well, because it's often difficult to play out a fantasy in reality exactly as it sort of exists in our minds. So, you know, I think sort of working out, like, is this practical? Is it going to hurt anyone in my life, or is it going to hurt me? You know, if you're, for instance, in a monogamous relationship and you're potentially thinking about being, you know, by cheating on your partner in order to fulfill that fantasy, I would say, no, don't do that, because you're going to hurt someone in the process. Mm. However, if this is something that's between, as I said, consenting people of everyone involved in the fantasy, then, you know, if it's not harming anybody, go for it.
How can I open up a monogamous relationship from an, that's from an L. Zamparelli? No. How can I open up a monogamous relationship? If somebody is in a long-term relationship, marriage, or just together with someone and they are thinking about this, should they approach it? I mean, like you said, you can really hurt someone's feelings here, but if it's something that they really want to do, should it be, you know, kept to themselves, or... what do you think you should do there?
I think it should always be talked about, right? Talking about something isn't the same as going ahead. You know, so there's so many ways that people can open up relationships. I highly recommend not opening up a relationship in response to the relationship being rocky. That can be a bit like having a child to try and fix, you know, a struggling relationship. It's a bad idea. And renegotiating the terms of your relationship is usually a big change. So it takes time and patience. I would say think about why and what you want. If it's only one of you who wants to potentially open up the relationship, then we've got to look at, you know, what are the fears that people have? You know, most people say to me who worry about opening up a relationship is, I wouldn't be able to handle that because I'd be too jealous. I'd be jealous and I'd feel insecure. The thing is, we feel jealous and insecure whether our relationship is monogamous or not. These are completely normal feelings. Everybody feels insecurity and jealousy in their relationship some of the time. And there are many, many resources out there to learn how to manage our jealousy, reassure each other, be kind to each other. There's also many, many forms of non-monogamy. You know, research them, talk about which ones might be right for you. Work out your boundaries, as I said, how you might handle jealousy and how to communicate about other partners. You know, for some people, it might be being monogamish, which is basically being monogamous, but it might mean that once or twice a year you have a casual fling and you've sort of given each other the green light to do that. Okay. You don't, you know, something like that. So there's all sorts of ways that you can do this. It doesn't have to mean that immediately that you're going to swingers parties where you put the car keys in the bowl. You know what I mean? That is just one specific and quite, you know, archaic form of how people view non-monogamy. But now there are so many ways, and you can talk to other non-monogamous people, read books, listen to podcasts, join groups, get some support. Don't feel on your own with this.
Very good. I can orgasm on my own, but if you just tuned in, I'm reading out text messages that have come into the show. I can orgasm on my own, but not with my partner. Why is that? And what can I do about it?
Probably performance anxiety, not feeling fully comfortable, and also not communicating what you need for your partner. I would say set aside time for you and your partner to try a few things. Also, practice recognizing what gets you off when you masturbate. You know, often we're worried about upsetting the other person or even making them angry, which is, you know, that's a, you know, it's a bad sign if you're walking on eggshells around your other partner, but it might be more to do with you. You know, especially for people socialized who've been as women, who've been conditioned or brought up as women, we're often just not very encouraged to think about our own needs and wants and to be to practice communicating that. So, you know, this might be about the fact that you feel you have to play a role during sex and it's actually quite draining and inauthentic. Maybe you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself to orgasm when that doesn't have to be the focus of sex. So, you know, I would say if it's something that you want to be able to do, that you and your partner would like for you to orgasm with them, then sit down, think about, you know, what gets you off when you're on your own, and how you can communicate that to them, and try a few things out. And if it doesn't matter so much about orgasming, then get on with what you're doing and enjoy yourself without that happening.
Exactly. Someone else says, I'm a man who likes dressing up in women's clothes. Does that mean I'm trans?
Not necessarily. The majority of cross-dressing people are heterosexual. There are all kinds of reasons that people enjoy dressing in more what we call masculine or feminine clothes. You know, back to taboos, often it's about being able to just escape yourself for a bit. You know, escapism doesn't have to be bad in itself. We all do it to a degree, and it can be very healthy to have a bit of, you know, just sort of getting outside of the boundaries of what we feel. We can get a bit bored with ourselves. So there's all sorts of reasons why people might enjoy. It can be very relaxing. It can be a way for people to explore, you know, especially in the case of cisgendered men, dressing up in what we call women's clothes, you know, that can be exploring femininity in a way that societal expectations don't really allow. It can be expressing creativity. For some people, it's very theatrical and enjoyable. As I said, it's like a type of role playing. So, you know, it may mean that there are things that you want to look at around your gender identity, but not necessarily. Just because you want to dress up in a dress or a skirt doesn't mean fucking anything on its
means
own.
Nothing. And we're going to finish on this. I think this is valuable to our younger listeners, especially. How can I figure out my sexuality? I think I'm straight, but I'm not totally put off by the idea of sex with people of my own gender.
Oh, explore, practice, have some safe and consensual adventures. It'll probably become clearer along the way. You know, for a lot of us, we're still fighting, you know, sort of shame and fear and insecurity around sex. And so, you know, as much as it's great to like focus on sex positivity and being uninhibited, that is, you know, that's not really that realistic for most people. Most of us are on a journey of at times feeling shame and fear and confusion about things. But that, you know, be kind to yourself, talk to people, get support, have resources. And as long as it is safe, it's not hurting you or other people, you know, unless that is part of something that you enjoy and that is consensual, then explore and practice and just have a bit of fun.
There we go. Rachel Cook, a psychotherapist and mental health consultant. Thank you so much for that. But we're still getting so many questions in to 51552, and you can keep sending them in to jen@rt.ie. We'll have to do another one next month.
Oh, maybe we'll do. Maybe we'll keep doing this for a while.
Well, I think we should. It's great, and people, yeah, it works really well. And we get a huge response, and we cover a lot. So thank you, Rachel. She is a legend, and if you want to follow Rachel on Instagram, she puts a lot of very informative stuff up there as well at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end, and she will, of course, she's going to be on again next week. This is her slot, Wednesday around 11:15. But I just want to say.
It's okay, you can all come out now, because sex therapist Rachel has now left the building.
She'll be back next week.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.